gotta keep it real simple. Keep it real simple. Bring everything right back to ground zero. Cause it all comes down to this. Love God and love people. We live in a world that keeps breaking. But if we wanna find a way to change it, it all comes down to this. Love God and love people.
Simple Church, let me hear you this morning one time. Come on. Hey, man, welcome back, man. Thanks for watching this morning. Good morning, North Dallas. Good morning to everyone who watches around the nation. Good morning, Kansas City and Houston and all of our friends that are even watching down in Honduras and around the world. We are so thankful that you would join us today as we wrap up this series, Love, How Do You Fill in the Blank? And I appreciate all of the submissions because many of you, man, my email box was full with all types of submissions. Now, if you're joining us only on this sermon, you're like, what are you talking about? It was all about love and then how you fill in the blank. So here's the thing. You had great suggestions. For example, I heard these are some of the ones that didn't quite make the message series, but hey, love is hard. Can I get an amen on that? Love is everlasting, unconditional, love heals. That was another great one. But probably one of the most surprising was this next one right here. It was an unusual way to fill in the blank, but it works. It was love handles. Can I get an amen on that? I don't know if they're seeing me in this shirt or what, but hey, listen, man, we're trying to get swole some, but I thought that's pretty funny. I appreciate when people can laugh and have a good time with it. But the overwhelming majority of responses that were sent in, or what we're talking about today, we're wrapping it up with. Are you ready? It wasn't love handles, although that was a good one. It is love forgives. This was the one that I had the most submissions on. And once again, I appreciate the fact that you're thinking through this because many of you even included a little story or some reason that you chose the word that you chose. And it means something to us. I read all of those. I look into that, and I appreciate the fact that you would take the time to respond. When you talk about this right here, this is a powerful, powerful message we all need to listen to and apply to our life right now. And you go, well, why do you say that, Justin? Because there's a lot of hurt in this world. It doesn't take long for you to look around, whether that's in your family or your close relationships or this country. We need some forgiveness because the pain and the hurt is real. You look at Time Magazine, a good example is you will see that it looks like we're fractured as a country. It doesn't take long. If it's magazines you're looking at, you can also look into television. Here's another example when it comes to the pandemic, a nation divided. There's a lot of hurt there. We also know that what we went through in 2020 was a lot of racial divide, a lot of hurt involved with that. But I put this picture here because one thing that's not talked about is the Asian community. And it's been everywhere in the news this week of how they are under attack, that people say ugly things to them and they hurt them with their words and even are attacking them in some of the major cities. And so this Hate is a Virus is a group that's got together with trying to, again, eliminate Asian racism and Asian discrimination. And I'm like, man, this is what's crazy. You look at our country, it's everywhere. It even goes deeper when it looks into your own life, when you think about the relationships that you personally are experiencing or going through. And there's hurt there as well. Pulled some stats for you. Here's a couple of images for you just so you can see. This is from Canada, 40% increase in divorce through the pandemic. That's in Canada. Well, that's one thing. Well, let me show you what happens right here in our country. Look at here. COVID crisis destroys marriage quickly. Then it goes into COVID-19 pandemic is tearing families apart. So how much it affects the kids. So relationships are falling apart, relationships at work, relationships at home. It's everywhere. So if you're going to talk about something to wrap up this love thing, I think you have to address what you've asked me to address. Love forgives. And let's look closely at what Jesus says as he addresses it because he knew the hurt that we'd be going through. Now, it's always good to open the Bible and look back directly at how Jesus addresses some of these issues. For example, Matthew chapter 6, 14 and 15. This is one of those heavy scriptures you'll ever read, though. It's still heavy on all of us. It says this, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Now, let's just pause right there. There's not many times Jesus says, hey, listen, man, here's some stipulations for you. You want forgiveness and you want freedom and you want to be able to move on. Well, here's the thing. It really is about loving God and loving people, and those relationships work together. And the problem that we have, and the Assembly Church talks about solving problems all the time, is that we have a lot of unforgiveness. Someone hurt you, and you know, I'll never forgive them. I can't forgive them. It's impossible for me to forgive them. And Jesus drops something on all of us that's heavy to carry. For if you forgive other people and they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you, because this is the good news. Look at how the warning comes next. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. I don't know about you. I got a long list of sins. Can I get an amen somewhere out there? I need forgiveness. And so Jesus is very clearly saying, listen, if you need the forgiveness and you long for that because you don't like the way you feel when you mess up, then you have to extend that same forgiveness to other people that mess up. And maybe the hardest thing for you to do today is to think about your ex and you go, I don't know if I could ever forgive them for what they did to me or my kids. Or if it's a family member who has offended you or hurt you in some way, and I get it. It's real. The pain is real. It's not saying it didn't happen. It's not minimizing it. It's just this idea of going, I got to work through this. Maybe it was a friendship that burnt you. And you're going, man, it's tough. Matter of fact, some of you say, this is impossible. I think this is impossible. I can relate. Our family has gone through stuff. There are relationships that have been challenging in my life as well. And the hurt is real. You don't overlook that. My mom used to tell us stories of her abuse as a child and how she had to work through the abuse and how to get to the place where she could forgive those that abused her because she was the one that was suffering. Now that she's with the Lord, I thank God that she sat with us and talked about those lessons and the pain that she went through and the journey that she took to get to freedom. And how did she get to that freedom? By saying, all right, God, help me to forgive. Not to forget, not to say that it didn't happen, because the pain is real. It happens. But we serve a God who, no matter what you have gone through, no matter what the challenges may be that you're even facing right now, he promises what seems impossible, what seems tough, he can help us with. You say, Justin, prove it. Luke chapter 18, Jesus replied, what is impossible with man? Because I know you're going to do this impossible. I could not do this. It's possible with God. This is why I lean heavy on him. This is why I cannot do it by myself. I will never be able to do it by myself. Christianity is not just a prayer you pray one time, an aisle you walk one time. It is a daily moment-by-moment relationship where you're saying, Jesus, help me today. Help me today to get through whatever it is the enemy throws at us, whatever this world throws at us. Luke chapter 1, 37 even says this, God can do, what's the word there? Anything. The question is will you and I allow him to come into our life, come into these situations, and be involved in each and every one of the details? As opposed to us trying to control it or trying to fix it, he's going, no, man, let me invade the circumstance so that I can give you freedom, so that you can forgive and I can forgive you. Jesus knew this would be tough. He knew that there would be impossible situations that we would face that were full of hurt. And how would he know that? Because he had them as well. When you look at the person of Jesus and you look at what he went through, he experienced real hurt, real pain. He understood how impossible it would seem to be able to forgive people that were doing the unthinkable to you. Now, we're only about a month or so away from Easter. We're getting closer. Just a little side note for you. We're back. We're coming back. So if you're watching this, you want to know if we're meeting for Easter, we are. We're going to be at the Brookshire's Grocery Arena, better known as the Century Link in our area, coming up. Can I get a little applause on that? We'll be back. So that's Easter. Mark your calendars. I'll be talking about that next week in the new series that we're, you know, kicking off. But the only reason I tell you all of that is because I want to make sure you know Easter is a reminder. It's a reminder that he can help you overcome the impossible. The hurt and the pain is real. And Easter is also a reminder of that. Luke 23 says it like this. Criminals were led out to be executed with Jesus, the him is Jesus, at the place called the Skull. It continues on when it says there were three that were being crucified. Jesus on the center cross and criminals on either side. You want to talk about a bad day? You want to talk about rejection? Remember, at this point, all of his friends have left him. Literally, I'm going to be with you, Jesus, forever. But when he goes to the cross, they have scattered, man. People have betrayed him. There was real hurt there. He was walking through the most difficult time that anyone could face in those moments. It was a bad day. Stripped, naked, spit on, beaten, mocked. But yet in the middle of all of the worst moments, Jesus displayed forgiveness. Now, this is one of the craziest things for me to wrap my head around. If someone had falsely accused you, lied about you, and was crucifying you, you're not going to sit there and go, hey, Lord, I just forgive them. It's all good. I mean, it's no big deal. I got it. No, but here's Jesus going, man, I want you to see and I want you to understand that I get it. I have been there. In that moment that is the darkest for him, that he could not hardly even imagine. He actually prayed to get rid of it. He was like, God, if there's any other way that I don't have to go this way, can we find another way? But the cross was the only way. Jesus knew what was coming. And in those moments, this is what happened. He looked at that crowd that had spit on him, had mocked him, had beaten him, and he says, Father, forgive these people, for they don't know what they're doing. And in that very moment, he's looking around going, man, y'all just don't get it. Think about this. The worst of the worst. He is being crucified. He is hung on a cross. And he's like, God, forgive him. They're laughing at him. They're mocking him. They're spitting and throwing stuff at him. And people are going, save yourself. Come on, man, save yourself. Go ahead, big guy. If you're the Son of God, man, come over that cross and do something. He just says, God, forgive him. And you say, well, how powerful is that moment? To me, it's powerful because even the next verse, look at what it says after this. We've seen that maybe scripture before. And the soldiers gambled for his clothing, throwing dice for each piece. As he's uttering the words, they're laughing and going, man, I want his jacket, man. That's sweet. Hey, man, I want that. I bet you won't get this. It wasn't like they had a point of going, hey, man, I get it. No, they were just celebrating. They were partying. They were like, this is it. No worries. And I know what some of you are thinking because I have thought this. So if I'm thinking it, more than likely there is a portion of the audience that's going, yeah. What I would say when I see that or I hear those stories, I'm like, well, I'm not Jesus. I mean, if I was Jesus, I might have been able to do that. But me, I would have come off that. If I had the power of Jesus, I'd have come off that cross and just level everybody. Like, is that funny? That ain't so funny, is it? Isn't that funny? Because that's the way we think. And then you go, well, Jesus did it totally different. He's saying, I ask you, God, to forgive them because they don't even know what they're doing. And you're going, yeah, but when I'm looking at my circumstance, my situation, I'm not Jesus. And I hear you, and this is my life group. We had a long life group this past Wednesday night or Thursday night. We stayed there till about midnight. My agent was like, are y'all ever coming home? I'm like, well, here's the reason why. Because in the real world, when you're working through real issues, you have to get to the place to understand that Christianity and following Jesus is not something you do just on a Sunday. It's something you do every day. It's something you do in every circumstance and situation. So whether that's wearing a mask or not wearing a mask, that's not through a political lens. It's through a following Jesus lens. Or if it's like, well, am I going to go here or go there? Or am I going to do this or do that? Or am I going to treat them this way or treat them that way? It's not something you go, well, I have an opinion of that. I think I have my... When you go through the Jesus route, it's like, it really doesn't matter what you think. Because what you're saying is, Jesus, you know better than me, you're smarter than me, and I need you to help me to walk down the road following you, regardless of what anybody and everybody else says. It's impossible, Justin, we can't do this. You have to do that if you're following Christ. And that's what in our life group, we're walking through every circumstance you're thinking about. Political stuff, man, race stuff, personal stuff, relationship stuff. Because we all have our opinions and we all want to, well, this is what I think and you ought to do this. When you follow Jesus, all of that stuff has to be pushed to the side. And it is very difficult
Because Jesus asks you to do things that don't make sense, like forgive people that have hurt you. Forgive people that don't agree with you. Forgive people that are saying things that don't make any sense. To be kind and to be gracious and to be loving to people that don't line up and do everything exactly the way you want them to. See, our call is to be like him, not like anybody else. Do y'all hear me? Don't try to be like me because I'm going to screw it up. I'm trying to be like Jesus, but I promise you I'm going to mess that up. Our call, though, is to look at Jesus, look at the way he handled things and go, I've got to try to be like him. And if I can be like him, man, this world can be different. That's why in the pre-show, Greg was talking about he's at a second job and people come up and they're talking to him. They're like, hey, man, if the church is so relevant, why are y'all hating so many people? Why is there so much hate? Why is there so much division? Why is there so much ugly talk on Facebook? And I think they say that they're Christians. Because the outside world, it don't make sense. How can you say you're following the Son of God, Jesus, who came to love and to serve, but yet we can't do that? We justify our actions. We justify the way we talk. We justify the way we hold grudges. We justify all of these things. And he's going, no, man. Jesus on the cross, God forgive a man, they don't even know what they're doing. While they're gambling for his clothes. God, I'm like, Jesus, I want to be more like you. I'm not there yet, but that's why it's a daily, moment by moment, Jesus, come into me, change me, help me. Because you will see in John chapter 13 a very solid reminder of what the call is for every one of us who want to be a Christian. You ready? I have given you an example to follow. Who's given us an example to follow? Jesus. Do as I have done to you. Well, what has he done? Well, this is a good question. You ready? Let's follow on and look at Colossians chapter 3. Gives you a great example as it continues on. Colossians 3 says, you're to forgive as quickly and completely as Jesus, the Master, forgave you. Just pause right there. Just let that marinate for a minute. When you said, Jesus, I'm sorry. And listen, I got a long list. More than likely, if you were to take out a little sheet of paper and I say, write down some of the things you've screwed up on this past week. You might have a few things to write down. If you don't have anything, you're a liar. Go ahead and write that down, okay? Because we all got something, right? And in the midst of all of that, we have a Savior who says, I quickly and completely forgive you. Regardless, and then I love what Colossians says, it continues to go on. This is what Jesus did for us. We should be following his example. And then it says, and regardless of what else you put on, why do we put it in the love series? Because forgiveness and love are synonymous. It's like, man, if I love you, I forgive you. Even when it doesn't make sense. As a matter of fact, because most people, when you look at the life of Jesus and what he's done for us, it doesn't make sense. Colossians continue, and it says this, it's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Without what? Without love. And why would he say that? Why would we need love? Why would we need forgiveness? And you know this, because people mess up a lot. You and I included, preachers, politicians, teachers, policemen, firemen, neighbors, kids, grandparents. We all mess up a lot. So he was like, hey, listen, if you're going to put on anything, if you're going to be known for posting anything, if you're going to be known for doing anything, be known for being so full of love and so full of forgiveness that the world's like, what is up with that? But what are you known for? What is the church known for? We have our rights. You need to stand. I'm like, man, you don't. The only right we have, y'all, is to surrender to Christ and to love the way that he calls us to love and forgive the way he calls us to forgive. And you're going, I just don't know if I believe that. Just look at the New Testament then. Really look at the life of Christ. And look at how he calls us to die to ourselves over and over again. You know why? Because we always want to be right. The disciples, they gathered up and they're like, hey, who's going to sit on the right and who's going to sit on the left? And Jesus said, it ain't that way in my kingdom. What do you mean? We're not going to have power. We're not going to have authority. We're not going to overtake the Roman Empire. He's going, oh, the remedial group. Here we go again. And guess what? 2,000 years later, we're still the remedial group. Because you've listened or you've convinced yourself of whatever the modern world says or whatever someone has said to you or whatever you've grown up with, and you're overlooking the simple truth of Jesus. You love and you forgive, even when it doesn't make sense. Now, the disciples got it, because you look through the New Testament, they're writing it out a lot. Look at 1 Peter 4:8. Most of all. Now, if you see most of all, you think they were kind of kidding? No, he's saying, like, of everything else, the most important thing, have a true love for each other. Love, why? Because love covers many sins. What was he saying? He's like, listen, the only way we're going to get through this is to stack love on top of love on top of love, because all y'all are going to jack everything up. And if you look at the New Testament letters, guess what the letters were being written to? Churches that were messing it up. There were like letters going, hey, man, you need to get this right. Hey, man, we need to work on this. Hey, man, I'm not sure. It doesn't matter whether that's Colossians or the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians or Ephesians or church in Ephesus. It was like, hey, man, we got to work on these things. And this is the challenge. Why? He knew how much you and I were going to mess it up. So here we are today in the modern church. Hopefully you're listening to this message and you're going, what's the call? What are we supposed to do? Love. Forgive. Well, I hear you, Justin. But can you give me some more practical advice? I mean, I need to know what exactly I'm supposed to do. All right, I'm glad you asked. Take out a little sheet of paper, take out your phone, write it down. Number one, you ready? This is from Scripture, not from me. Pray for those who hurt you. Who is it that's hurt you? I cannot pray for them. I want to kill them. I understand that. I can relate to that. Jesus can relate to that. But his challenge was simple. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who hurt you. That ain't me. That's Jesus. So some of you are going, well, I got it. All right, I can pray for them. God, Jesus, Heavenly Father, please give my ex-wife, my ex-husband, hemorrhoids, big ones, right now, Lord. I am praying for the largest case of hemorrhoids that have ever been recorded. That's our problem. You go, oh, I got it. Oh, I can pray for them. No, so here's the deal. We kind of laugh. Our current world, that's the way it works. I'll even prove it to you. There's songs written along the same lines. I've played this before early on in Simple Church. It's one of my favorite because it's funny. When you talk about praying, and you talk about praying for your ex or for somebody else, there's no better example than this song right here. Watch this.
I haven't been to church since I don't remember when. Things were going great till they fell apart again. So I listened to the preacher as he told me what to do. He said, you can't go hating others who have done wrong to you. Sometimes we get angry, but we must not condemn. Let the good Lord do his job, and you just pray for them. I pray your brakes go out running down a hill. I pray a flower pot falls from a windowsill and knocks you in the head like I'd like to. I pray your birthday comes and nobody calls. I pray you're flying high when your engine stalls. I pray all your dreams never come true. Just know wherever you are, honey, I pray for you.
And the crowd goes crazy, right? Why? Because you're sinners! Aren't we all? And that's why it's funny. We're like going, oh, I've been there before. I pray your brakes go out. I pray you get hemorrhoids. I pray a flower pot falls on your head and knocks you in the head like I want to. It's pretty funny lyrics. And Jesus says, and none of that should be true, believer. You're like, well, I ain't there yet. Matthew 5. You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now let me just pause right there. How have they heard it said? Jesus was in a Jewish culture that was very religious. So are you. You're not Jewish, but you're very religious. So you know how to talk it. You know how to quote scripture when you want it to fit the way you want things to go. We all do. Jesus knew that about your old dirty, stinky self. He knew that about them. So he's like, hey, guys, y'all have heard it said. You know this, right? Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Wow, that was Jewish law. As a matter of fact, Jews were okay with, in his time, with an eye for an eye. You've heard that before? That's the Old Testament. So this is why you can't go, well, I'm Old Testament on them. Not when you follow Jesus, because when Jesus came, there's a new covenant. The old is gone, the front half, the way you eye for an eye, the way you have 20, 60 wives. Some men are like, I can barely do one. I don't want that in the front half of the... But this is the truth. This is why we get so confused. Like, I just don't understand. Because when Jesus came, he was like, you've heard it said, you've thought these things before, but I tell you something different. This is Jesus. You ready? But I tell you something different. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. This was as shocking as anything that I'm saying right now in their culture. They're going, you want me to pray for my enemies like the Romans? Are you kidding me? Even in their culture, the Romans worshiped a revenge god. They were going, hey, man, we were good with revenge. The Jewish law, an eye for an eye. So all of a sudden, Jesus shows up and says, why is he teaching something different? And this is the thing I want you to get. Please remember this. Man, this is worth coming for and listening today. Because your attitude precedes right actions. Check your attitude. This is what Jesus was saying. He's like, man, y'all got the wrong attitude. From pandemic to the way we treat people, to racial issues, to whatever it is. And you're going, what? Your attitude, you got to understand, it precedes right action. So when you have a bad attitude, when you look at things with a bad attitude, Jesus was like, the only way I can switch this around is maybe if I get you to pray for them, it will begin to change your attitude. You got to think right before you ever do right. Jesus knew this. So write this down. You ready? Here's another one. Why would I pray, Justin? That's so hard. Why would I take the time to write it in a prayer journal or write it out when somebody's done me wrong? You ready? Here it is. Because my prayer for others may or may not change them, but it always changes you. So in other words, it may not change the situation. This horrible ex may never all of a sudden turn into this Jesus-loving, following, honoring God person. But let me tell you something. Every day that you sit down and pray for them, it's changing you. You may never have whichever president you like or don't like. Be different. But that's why you pray for them, because guess what? It's about changing you. It's about changing you. So whatever side you're on, this works for everybody, all sin, race issues. Instead of, I'll tell you what, shut up and just pray. Why? Because maybe, just maybe, as you close your mouth and you get in that prayer closet and you begin to pray, God begins to change your heart. It's powerful. It's Jesus. So if you're mad at me, send me an email and prove me wrong. But when you look at the New Testament and you look at Scripture, it's not kind of clear, it's crystal clear. Because you think we have a divided, messed up culture, you have no idea how divided and how corrupt and how ugly the culture was that Jesus landed in. That's why he said, you think you know religion? I know religion. You think you know persecution? I know persecution. The Romans are killing people, cutting heads off, and hanging them at the stake. And you're mad because you ain't got water. I tell you what, I'm persecuted. He's like, dude, you don't even know. So what do? You pray. You pray, God, help us. God, change. God, help my city leaders. God, help my first responders. God, help the nurses. God, help my leaders in this country. God, help my ex. God, help my kids. God, help that school. God, help whoever. Why? Because it may not change them, but I promise you it starts to change you. And number two, we're almost done. Forgive as you have been forgiving. Practical steps. When you start talking about prayer, when you start talking about forgiveness, and you start talking about what all this means, I'm going to tell you about the power. I'm going to tell you about why this is so important. Ran across this not too long ago, and you will hear in this next little guy talking pain, you will hear rejection, you will hear people letting him down, you hear all these different things, but you will also hear how he keeps championing prayer. You may or may not like him. You may not even think he's a believer. I personally do. And I'm going to personally go, you know what? Dude, I'm praying for you, bro, because you're in a position now that can influence other people that I'll never have a chance to. And when he says things like this, maybe it'll influence you. Watch.
I was told I would never be nothing. Prayer changes things. I flunked out of school. Prayer changes things. I'm on my third marriage, lost everything I've owned twice. I've been homeless and lived in a car for 3 years. Prayer changes things. Prayer. The cool thing about prayer is the one thing that's available to everybody at any given time. Do you know that God ain't ever too, he ain't ever too busy for you? You know that God actually knows who you are? Do you know that God actually created you to converse with him? Do you know that God would actually love to hear from you? Do you know that I like talking to him even when I don't really need nothing? So when I do need something, I don't want to have to introduce myself to him. Listen to me, man. Quit playing with this here. You're not going to make it without God. If you've tried it so far, tell me how that's working out for you. It suck, don't it? You need God. Don't you think I got here without him. I've needed him every step of the way. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't even be standing here today. I'm telling you right now, you need God. You need to tell him that you need him. Quit being ashamed about it and worrying about who looking. Go somewhere by yourself today and tell God you need some help. Tell him that you're just tired of trying to figure it out for yourself.
Come on, y'all. Give it up for old Steve Harvey. Tell you why I also love him. He cusses like me. Pray for me right now. Pray for me. This is a little silly side of it. So many times we look at people and we make judgments and we say this and we say that. What I love about him, what I've discovered by Steve, is every taping of Family Feud or his TV show, he comes out and gives a biblical lesson or a motivation of something he's learned or something God's taken him through. You can look at him online. There's tons of them. He has all kinds of posts. Is he a perfect guy? Nah, and neither are you. But the lessons maybe will inspire someone in that audience or in this audience. That's what I love, is that God chooses to use all of us, if you're willing. Even on issues that, man, maybe you're not so great with, forgiveness. But let me tell you something, don't forget the power of your influence, whether that's the keyboard, whether that's your phone, whether that's your post, whether that's your presence. It matters what you're saying. It matters what you're doing. This world needs an example to be like Christ, to follow what you say you believe. Shall I put another verse on in case you're still kind of confused, a little foggy? Colossians 3. Don't be angry with each other, but forgive each other. If you feel someone has wronged you, forgive them. Forgive others because the Lord forgave you. So who is it that you need to forgive? Who is it that you need to be praying for? Who is it you need to say, listen, man, I need to let it go. I got to, Jesus. I can't keep carrying it. Forgiving someone won't change the past, write this down, but it can change your future. So when you talk about forgiving someone, man, it ain't going to change what happened. People messed up. People, and we're going to continue to mess up. I'm liable to have messed up today that I got to go, God, help me, forgive me. Got to work. I don't know. Somebody may come and go, hey, man, that, and I'm like, hey, listen, that's not my heart. Let me help me to again, help us move forward. I want to ask you to forgive me. If God brings somebody to your mind that you know that you need to go ask. If there's a circumstance or a situation, don't just sit back and say, hey, man, I think I may have offended you or I may have hurt you. Man, I'm sorry about that. Because I'm going to tell you something right now, man. People know the heart. People know your heart. And so the thing is when you look at this, forgiving someone won't change their past, but it can change your future. Maybe you'll never get to talk to them. This is what I want to tell you about my mom, and this is when she talked about the person that abused her and the letters that she wrote. She wrote a letter to the man that abused her, and he had died. And before she passed, she told us about the letters that she had written. And I remember asking, I was like, Mom, why are you writing a letter to a dead person? Because forgiving someone won't change the past, but she wanted a better future. So it couldn't change. You can't undo what was done. But she had to get to the place, say, God, I got to turn that over because, man, I ain't free. And let me tell you something. You don't know what freedom looks like? I gave more time, again, researching, walking through all this, and it always comes back to the God's word and Steve Hartman. Can I get an amen out there? What's it look like, Justin? Give me an example, a modern-day example. Put it in the flesh. Put it in where I can grab a hold of it. I'm glad you asked. Forgiveness. Don't change the past, but it can change your future. Watch.
Thank you, Lord.
In a small apartment building in North Minneapolis, a 59-year-old teacher's aide sings praise to God for no seemingly apparent reason. Indeed, if anyone was to have issues with the Lord, it would be Mary Johnson.
For all you've done for me. He never had a chance.
In February 1993, Mary's son, Loramian Bird, was shot to death during an argument at a party. He was 20 and Mary's only child.
My son was gone.
The killer was a 16-year-old kid named O'Shea Israel.
I wanted justice. He was an animal. He deserved to be caged.
And he was. Tried as an adult and sentenced to 25 and a half years, O'Shea served 17 before being recently released. He now lives back in the old neighborhood, close to Mary. This close.
He lives next door.
Next door.
How a convicted murderer ended up living a door jam away from his victim's mother is a story not of horrible misfortune, as you might expect, but of remarkable mercy.
A few years ago, Mary asked if she could meet O'Shea here at Minnesota's Stillwater State Prison. As a devout Christian, she felt compelled to see if there was some way, if somehow, she could forgive her son's killer.
What'd she say to you?
I believe the first thing she said was, look, you don't know me, I don't know you, let's just start with right now. And I was befuddled myself.
O'Shea says they met regularly after that. When he got out, she introduced him to her landlord, who, with Mary's blessing, invited O'Shea to move into the building. Today, they don't just live close, they are close. Clearly, Mary was able to forgive.
Unforgiveness is like cancer. It will eat you from the inside out. It's not about that other person. Me forgiving him does not diminish what he's done. Yes, he murdered my son, but the forgiveness is for me. It's for me.
For O'Shea, it hasn't been that easy.
I haven't totally forgiven myself yet. I'm learning how to forgive myself, and I'm still growing towards, you know, trying to forgive myself and what it is I've done.
To that end, O'Shea is now busy proving himself to himself. He works at a recycling plant by day and goes to college by night. He says he's determined to pay back Mary's clemency by contributing to society. In fact, he's already working on it, singing the praises of God and forgiveness at prisons, churches, to large audiences everywhere.
Forgiveness is a powerful thing.
Yes, I'm grateful.
Which explains why Mary can sing her praise of thanks to her audience of one. Steve Hartman, CBS News, Minneapolis.
For all you've done for me.
As we wrap up, think about this. It's your decision on what you're going to do. I can't do it for you. Nobody else can do it for you. But if you say you believe Jesus and you say you want to follow, This is a non-negotiable when it comes to the New Testament. Because you can't get the forgiveness you need without giving the forgiveness to other people. So for me, this is how I do it. Lord, I am a sinner and I have messed up. Every day, God, I mess up. Sometimes it's the way I treat people. Sometimes it's the way I live my life, and I need your forgiveness. So, God, I'm asking you to come into my life and change me and give me a fresh start and help me to be like you, to fill my mind with your word, not what people are saying, not social posts, not what media is saying, not what some political party says, not even maybe what my family says, God, because if what my family's saying ain't what you're saying, then I don't need to be a part of that. So, Jesus, help me to be you on this planet, like this beautiful example of this beautiful mama. And help us, God, as a group of believers to change the world that we live in by our actions. And God, if somebody doesn't know you, I pray, God, that they would not surrender to a church, because a church, man, can mess them up. I pray they would surrender to the person of Jesus. And the more we seek to know you and follow you, God, it has to, it will change us. Help us, Jesus, to be like you. Help us, Jesus, to follow you. Thank you for your forgiveness and give me the power to forgive those that need to be forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. I heard you, Daniel Dooley. That's what I was hearing in my ear, by the way. Just so y'all know, I heard all Chip talking, everybody. Something changed on there. I don't know, but I can tell you this. I made it through. Come on, can I get an amen? Hey, listen, I love y'all, dude. Thank you so much for being a part. Thanks for watching. Thank you again, all of North Dallas and all of the other people that are watching around this great nation around the world. Help us, man, to be like him so we can change the world. Tune into the post show. Don't turn it off today, because I got announcements about what's coming up the next month and where we're going for CenturyLink and all of those things that are coming up, all right? I love y'all. Hang around for a minute if you want to hear some of that, because you're going to need to know. You get the first to know. I love y'all, and I'll see you in just a couple minutes. Until then, what do we say? Peace.